Viewers, listeners at home, you can play along. Search up Puppet Steve.
If you say Puppet Steve, oh my fucking, you fool, you fucking idiot. This is old news. You don't fucking know anything about Irate Gamer.
No, I don't. I'm asking you.
I don't fucking know. Why would I watched
a video recently that was like the seven steps of like being into furries. And I feel like that was probably a thing that was said in that video.
It's something like a gender cheesy chart. Hello and welcome to the Weeb crew. I don't know. I guess we have to fucking start this podcast at some point. I'm your host, Psyotic. We can't.
We're just stuck in this purgatory talking about so God bad. Fucking.
Yeah, in Fire Punch, I guess those were somehow, I don't.
We had Fire Punch. Yeah.
I feel so bad for the Patreon listeners.
Man, remember Fire Punch? What a great manga to come out in, was it 2016? Man, isn't 2016 so nostalgic?
I feel like you're trying. I appreciate the effort,
but I have to finish the incantation first that we call the intro. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to summon the demon into this realm. Okay. As always, I'm joined by my co-host Moomy. Say hi, Moomy.
Hi.
And our guest today is Hayden.
Hi.
And I guess we're talking about nostalgia or something. I don't.
Yeah, remember 2016?
Remember the 90s?
Remember when Bill Cosby wasn't a rapist? Or at least wasn't known as a rapist?
Man, Zoomers really killed rapist. Everything. They took all away this. The Bill Cosby!
I do not...
You do not...
I do not look back fondly on 2016 to address what Hayden said.
I look back pretty fondly on 2016. That was when I went to Japan for the first time.
Oh, okay. I guess that would be why.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at like 2016 as like a culmination of just a ton of dumb shit happening online and then also like the 2016 election and just being like, wow, this really sucks.
Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of fun. It was sucked. But like, if you're making the best of it, it was kind of fun.
In the moment, it seemed fun. In retrospect, it was just kind of like, man, we just fucking turned a gorilla being shot into a joke or something. There was like,
oh yeah, that was a thing.
Remember Rice Gum and I think Leafy Is Here was like that. And remember, like when H3 had some semblance of sanity left, and people.
I mean, I didn't really pay attention to those people anyway. So
I remember like Content Cop.
And Content Cop. I remember before iDubbbz fucking fell off and become a cuck or something, or before.
No, he just became woke.
Sold
yeah,
out.
I don't think that was before he became. I think he was always a cuck. I think he just.
It just became more public that he likes to watch.
He likes to watch. He doesn't like to watch, though, apparently.
Just like we like to watch anime. What are some nostalgic anime that you guys remember watching when you were a kid?
You guys are listening to the Weeb Crew, where we only talk about the classics that you know and love, such as Cardcaptor Sakura, Naruto.
I feel like I'm just doing a Toonami bumper right now.
If we want to talk about nostalgia, how do we feel about nostalgia?
It kind of varies. Sometimes I'm like, I remember this thing, and other times I get this nostalgic feeling, and it makes me feel old and aware of my own mortality.
Yeah, that can be a thing. I feel like the younger listeners probably don't feel that yet. not something you have. You know,
what the fuck are you talking? We don't have younger. Everyone who listens to this podcast is probably like it, like 23 and older at least.
Listen, that is not how statistics works. All right.
There's listen, like Mumi's just person. Old. He's trying to make himself sound right. young.
There is like one person that like appeal to the accidentally youth. Put this on while they were like giving themselves an enema when they're like, I don't know, 19 years old. You know, they okay, exist. I'm sure. Like,
please do not make this person who's giving themselves an enema under 18 and is listen, listening to our
I didn't
pod.
Say a fucking child. I said younger people.
Younger people.
Yeah, that kid's dad is just like, subscribe to the Weeb Crew Patreon. Subscribe to the Weeb Crew Patreon at whatever the link is.
I don't know.
And like, they just put on this episode, and for the patron listeners, they'll hear all the discussion about the dog fucking and what else did we talk about? School shooting?
School shootings? You know, I listen to this on Spotify. Serial murderers. Like, man, what the fuck is going on? What is going on in the Patreon section? Jesus H. Christ.
That's why you got a pledge.
I feel like we got to censor that now. I feel like you can't have... Well, I can't say it, but you can't have it in your fucking transcript.
Yeah, I guess we can't. We
you
can't.
Can just fucking... Just censor it with, like, the sounds of, like, gunfire. And, like, people will know, and it won't appear in the transcription.
That is too much work for me, okay?
Okay, so clearly we all feel very badly about nostalgia, because we immediately just transitioned this conversation.
Yeah, as a defense mechanism, foster we immediately the try to change...
What?
Man, Foster the People. Remember that song when
oh
it came
God.
Out in, was
that
it 2014?
Defined my high school years, let me tell you. And I was just fantasizing about fucking killing everyone.
Are you saying that it defined your
man,
high school years?
Man, wasn't 14 so nostalgic?
Are you saying it defined your high school years because you listened to it a lot or because you liked to listen to it a lot?
I don't know. I really just like to listen to, like, you know, Burzum and Samhite and stuff, you know, things like that. You know, really keep my mind state, you know, very positive in such a developmental age.
I listened to a lot of Kesha in high school.
Did you fucking really? No. You're like, what the fuck?
I did.
D-I-N-O. Yeah, but you
I have her fucking CD.
Oh, you... You own a CD?
What? Remember CDs?
Remember CDs?
You know, I actually probably... somewhere I have a CD collection from, like, when I was in middle school or younger. I don't know where it is. I haven't seen it in a while, but it also has my bootleg Naruto DVDs.
Yeah, it's just
it.
A big, fat stack of, like, Creed records, and you have, like, 10 copies of each album.
I actually don't have Creed. I do have Disturbed. That's, like, probably the most cringe one.
Fucking of course you do.
Listen to the sound of silence.
Well, I don't have that because that was, I mean, this is, I only had the first two CDs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you integrate nostalgia at all into your assessment of anything?
Yeah, it really depends, because there's some things that here's a good example. Do either of you know the animated movie The Quest for Camelot?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't really ready. I was picking this to be like something that only I remember for some reason. Anyway, I watched.
No,
that
we're
movie.
All the fucking same. Your nostalgia's fucking wrong. Fuck you.
No,
dog. That I mean, you have to put it in perspective. I've seen like probably every fucking anime.
Oh, he just. Okay, I think he was a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Well, you can get over it. So I've seen like every fucking animated movie before like the year 2000. I'm pretty sure. Like I've seen shit like fucking Happily Ever After, the sequel to Snow White, about seven more dwarves.
Yeah, they're just different dwarves. They made a sequel to Bambi at one point. There was like a lot of like Disney like animated sequels in the 2000s for some reason. Anyway,
this is not a Disney sequel.
Was it not? Like, I mean, Snow White is a Disney movie.
It is a Disney movie, but it's not a Disney story, and this is a sequel to the book.
This is like 1989. This is right before Christ Almighty. What the fuck are these characters? Is that a fucking eggplant? What the fuck are these character designs?
Mother Nature.
But I remember rewatching.
Is that Al smoking a cigar?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is. I'm going to stop looking at this now. Malcolm McDowell's. I'm going to stop looking at this now. Ed Asner. I keep looking at it, and I really just wish I wasn't. The point I'm trying to make is there's some stuff that I will watch from my childhood, or like go back and like play a video game and stuff and be like, wow, this is fucking dog water. I can't believe what the fuck. And then the other stuff, like, I'm not really nostalgic for like the Transformers movies or like the Nolan Batman movies or anything like that, because I just still watch those as an adult, so nothing's really changed on that front. It's just like revisiting stuff. I guess my litmus test, it would be a good litmus test for me, is for me to go back and play New Super Mario Brothers from the Nintendo DS, because that was like the first DS game I had ever played, probably like the first proper video game I'd really ever played. So, and if I can go back and play that and be like, this is really good, and feel some sort of that nostalgic feeling that you get, kind of like, I don't know, it's all coming back to me now. I don't know, but otherwise it could also just fucking suck.
I feel like I have an interesting relationship with nostalgia, because like growing up, I was like a very bitter and like kind of sad kid.
Damn.
Didn't really hang around a lot of people. So, like, realistically, I don't have a lot of fond memories from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to, like, things that I feel nostalgic about, it's more so about the feeling of, like, wishing I had something at that point that I cannot obtain now. Like, I don't know, Team Fortress 2 is a pretty nostalgic game for me. I still play it now, but obviously the game's not quite what it used to be, and I always kind of kick myself for not making more friends within the game and everything like that. I do it more like now, but again, it's not quite the same.
The game dead used to be now,
more social, pretty much.
Yeah, you can't even hardly get
But I think
pop.
That's a good example of like my general kind of relationship with nostalgia, because I don't think back too much of like, I don't know, the movies or anything that I watched back then. Even like, I guess, I think I watched a lot of pretty good anime back then. I really loved the anime for like Soul Eater. I watched that when it was still airing, I believe, To Love Ru. Even Sword Art Online would probably go pretty fucking hard right now if I rewatched it.
That's sad.
Toradora. Well, the Toradora came later on, but I'm rewatching it now and I'm really enjoying it.
I feel like
I'm just waiting for Mumi to shit on it.
Well, I wasn't going to, but I mean, if you want, I can't deny it. No, I feel like I have like selective nostalgia, because like there'll be things that I'm like kind of nostalgic for from like 10 years ago, where I'm like not nostalgic for things that I was in contact with relatively frequently like 20 years ago. And it's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's...
I kind of feel that same way, because, like, when you grow older, I feel like you become nostalgic for things that are, like, not as far back in the past, but, like, things that, you know, let's say, happened, like, a couple of years ago. Like, oh, man, remember the AnnieTube community? That was a fucking mistake and horrible, but there is a part of me that is a little bit nostalgic about, you know, making friends and all, you know, encouraging each other and like pushing each other to make content. You can still like kind of get that now if you find the right community, obviously. But like AnnieTube as a concept felt more like a community. At least that's how it was seen back then. Again, like it's a bad thing looking back at it, like a complete fucking waste of time. But, you know, like with the TF2 example that I brought up, it's something that, you know, you don't really get anymore. And maybe you didn't fully appreciate, you know, the good parts that it had back then, because it wasn't all bad either.
What, AnyTube?
So it's, yeah. Like, it was mostly, like, really bad, as it's always been. But, you know, still a couple highlights.
Maybe, like, outside the content, for the most part. maybe if you're, like...
There's some okay content.
I mean, there were good anime videos.
There were fun, like, community events, stuff like that.
Depends on what era we're talking about specifically. Like, yeah. 2015-ish or past? Is that what we're talking about?
I'd say so. At least that's when I started getting more involved with the community, because I think I made my MAL account in, like, 2015.
I don't know. Here I have, we like... go.
I think I found it. You can finish talking about whatever you want to talk about. I want to talk about this video, though.
I have, like, zero reverence for, like, that time period of content outside of, like, one or two people. Like, I did not... I feel like a lot of the AnyTube at that point was just not very good. There was a reason why I didn't want to be a part of it for the most part until it kind of... Well,
that's what I mean when I say, like, you take the good with the bad so you can look back at what little positive was, like, around back then. Like, wasn't a whole lot, but, you know, there was maybe one or two things or, like, a couple people that were cool, a couple... community events that were like,
I'm sure if you're just like in the community it was much better, but if you're just like outside and you're just watching content, you're getting nothing out of it. Or unless you're like, I don't know, I imagine there's kids that probably got a lot more out of it. If you're like their peers.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been a teenager back then, and obviously now I can look back at a lot of the content being made and it's not very good. But I don't know, I think it was cool how I feel like people were trying to create more. I mean, the concepts and topics and everything was fucking stupid. Like, you know, you had a bunch of things that, like, Gigguk would talk about, like the death of mecha anime or the fall of mecha anime, whatever that video is called.
Oh boy.
Like, that whole conversation was fucking stupid and a waste of time and completely fucking pointless. But I think it's less so about the actual content and more about the idea of, like, a big YouTuber trying to actually spark some kind of discourse, which I guess now that I, like, put it into perspective and I think about it now, like, I miss when people would actually try and not, you know, like, right now where the trend is, like, you know, just plot recap or a lot of stuff like that. Like, no one's actually trying to make any, like, arguments, really. I guess aside from, like, on Twitter or TikTok, you'll have people being like, why is there so much fan service in anime?
I feel like that's also partially, you know, due the cyclical to the fact stuff that, to a certain extent, standards have raised for that kind of stuff as well. So if you are going to make a point, you have to put in the effort and research in order to do that. And most people don't want to do that because that's too much work.
Okay,
and if they try to do that without any research, then they're just going to get fucking ripped to shreds a lot of the time.
That begs the question of, like,
yes,
would Trixie's content and her level of research back in the day pass that threshold now?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, no.
Are you sure? Like, I don't mean, like, amongst, like, people, like, in our circle. I mean, like, in a general sense, would that not?
No, it would not, because her videos are also nowhere near long. Like, yeah, people are making videos and we don't really like it. Like, we have, like, a lot of issues with, like a lot of Moon Channel's videos are like that. But those videos are also considerably longer. I think you were to take some of those fucking, like, 10 to 15 minute short videos that she was putting out in, like, 2016, 2017. No, that's, like, because there's a sort of mentality where if the video is, like, too short, then, you know, after 15 minutes, it's like, well, shit, I'm going to need to have to, like, go and find another video. So you kind of, you want videos to be on the longer side, because that means, you know, you don't, then need to take longer to go back into like that selection pool and find the next video to watch. So no, I don't think, both on a research front and I think just on a general content structure front, no, I don't think she would.
I will say that is something that I'm actually like, I'm going to say I'm nostalgic for it, but really I just kind of miss it. I miss it when YouTube videos used to be fucking succinct and like, yeah, they were about as long as they needed to be and they didn't have to cross this like certain threshold. Even like shorter videos now feel very like rambly and aimless. Like they don't have a fucking point to them other than like talk about a topic but not come to any like interesting conclusion or say anything interesting about it. It's just like content to feed your brain, like some kind of activity, but not actually make you think about anything.
Unlike this podcast, of course.
Unlike this podcast.
Exactly. Especially for the patrons.
Especially for the patrons.
See, I feel like I'm running into this issue a bit with like the script I'm currently working on, where like I feel like I have to dilute it a bit. Because like right now it's probably looking like it's going to hit about 15 minutes before any kind of like watering down. When I say watering down, I don't mean like I'm just going to like add like, oh, I'm going to ramble about fucking Galaxy Express for like 5 minutes and or whatever. Like it's like kind of going back and kind of reiterating points that I don't feel the need to. But thinking of it from like a viewer experience, I'm kind of like, okay, it might make sense to like go back in here and kind of reiterate like points and kind of to reemphasize like how this is tying back into this aspect that I'm talking about here and like kind of just build upon that and kind of give like a moment or a beat to kind of absorb the information that's being given. Like I'm thinking about like maybe that video I should probably get to like 20 minutes or like closer to 20 minutes, not necessarily like I'm gonna hit 20 minutes exactly. But like you start thinking about that kind of stuff, but I feel like that's not necessarily a problem that people were running into and thinking about 10 years ago when they're like, oh, I gotta make my video longer. It wasn't like there's a lot of information that kind of needs to be helped digested. I feel like it was just, I gotta make it longer to, CTR mid-roll ads or whatever.
Ads and stuff or something about the YouTube algorithm or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that content's also, like, shitty. Anything that's, like, artificially extended, I feel like you can't really make that into good content. Because, like, again, going back to what I was talking about before, like, remember, and maybe you still do this, but I feel like rewatching videos was a lot more common back then. Because, like, videos were made to be, like, very quick and quippy. And like it's, you go in and out, like a video might be like 5 minutes long. Like I think back to like maybe a year ago, I was watching this channel. Do you guys know A Brand Into the Past?
No.
I know. He used to make Pokemon videos. I know
The Legend of Neil.
Okay, never mind. Well, A Brand Into the Past used to make Pokemon videos and they weren't good. Like, they were really cringe and kind of bad, but they had the kind of pacing that I'm talking about where, like, you click on the video, you're in and out, and you didn't feel like 5 minutes just, like, went by. You felt like you got everything that you needed from the video, and then, oh, okay, well, I guess that's done. I guess I'll watch the next video. And to me, at least, that's really what YouTube was all about. You know, a lot of like gaming videos were like that, like fun, interesting facts. Like, did you know gaming back in the day? Still great today. Then like, you know, the skit channels.
So what you're saying is the YouTube algorithm killed YouTube.
Yes, YouTube killed YouTube. Yes.
No. YouTube algorithm. Suicide.
The YouTube algorithm is part of YouTube, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, but like specifically the function of the YouTube algorithm.
YouTube had an algorithm back then too.
Did YouTube have the same algorithm in, like, 2005?
Not the same algorithm, but it's always been...
Yeah, not the same algorithm. Like, after some time, I forget when. Man, isn't that nostalgic? Remember when YouTube used to reward, like, views instead of watch time?
Yeah, back when
because at some point they switched. YouTube? Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, remember when that was a talking point? Like, animation being killed on YouTube? Man, isn't wasn't that so nostalgic, just having this entire great genre just being killed off by slop?
Man, I love the 2010s. Let's plays.
I love the 2010s.
I feel like the 2010s is like a lost decade.
Speaking of which, I was thinking of this video, and I feel like this video captures how I feel about nostalgia, especially for like the early 2010s internet, early mid 2010s internet, very well. Just turn this up.
He put Sweden. I thought he just typed in WASD.
Let's go, baby. Let's get copyright claimed. That's what I want to fucking do. Let's fucking go. Let's try and talk over this fucking music so that way it doesn't get picked up.
Anyway, so about zoophilia.
I remember Capri Sun and Go-Gurt.
I used to freeze Go-Gurts.
Scholastic.
What animal do you find the most attractive?
Screw Attack. These, I actually don't fucking remember any of this shit. Zoopal. I think Zoopal is still a thing.
Hold on a minute. What the fuck was that?
Was that a bowl? Was that a bowl with just a
that's for your cereal. What was that Lunchable?
Oh.
What was happening with that fucking lunch? What the fuck is that? Why? Why did they put a piece of cheese on their fucking Oreo?
I'm trying to pull it up. But it's like not letting me. There we go. This is something people would do. This is something people would do with their Lunchables because they're fucking disgusting.
They would put cheese in their fucking Oreo?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Kids of the Lunchable.
Name them!
Developmentally disabled children, okay? Who didn't know any better.
Did this kid just have like colorblindness and they couldn't tell the fucking black Oreo apart from like the fucking cracker?
They
so they
just
put
straight
a
up
piece
blind,
of cheese in the Oreo.
Listen, they're raised as a millennial, all right? They don't see color.
That's how you know this kid is not racist. He eats Oreo with fucking cheese in it.
Yeah, I look at this stuff. I look at this stuff and think to myself, like, I don't really miss this. If anything, I feel kind of disgusted being reminded of it. I'm like,
miss like the stuff it's showing, or just
the
doom scrolling. Yeah.
I find it really interesting too how like you have a lot of these videos that are trying to provoke nostalgia. Like this one is playing the song from Minecraft.
Yes,
and like you know the pictures they're pulling up, they vary in such incredibly like wide like time period ranges. Like you have Minecraft and then you have like I don't know, GTA on like the PlayStation 2 or something like that, and then Kitty 0706, Smash Bros Brawl. Like this is all in the span of like a decade.
Oblivion, which I guess... Oblivion and Elder Scrolls 5.
Yeah, Skyrim, when did that come out?
2011, same year as Minecraft actually.
Yeah, so you have, like, the 2000s up until the 2010s.
Yeah.
Which, like, I guess you could do that, but, like, when I think of nostalgia, I like to think of, like, select time period pieces rather than, like, you know, just my entire childhood.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm, like, I can feel specifically nostalgic about, I don't know, 2014 or something like that. Like, man, that first... Issues album was really good, huh? I think of like specifically 2014 in that moment. I don't also think back to like, man, remember fucking YouTube tutorials when they used to pull up the notepad and like type into the notepad like, hey guys, welcome to my tutorial.
Something like, that would have been
my
like,
brain is just not wired like that.
6 to 8 years
you guys get
prior.
That? Yeah, 6 to 7 years prior.
6, 7, yeah. Well, oh, kids are going to be kids these days. Do you think they're going to be nostalgic for 6, 7, or do you think they're going to look back on
it? Dude, fucking imagine like 2067 and like you have all of these like elder like zoomers like doing the 6, 7 like hand motion, but like they're too fucking old. So like their fucking like shoulder like breaks in the middle like, of it because like they were doing it too fast. You can hear the physical creaking like a fucking leak.
I'm glad I'll probably be dead at this point.
Hopefully, honestly, hopefully. But I feel, I mean, I don't know, I feel like people are going to be looking back on stuff from 2025 the same way I look back on here come that boy and dicks out for Harambe.
People have fucking nostalgia for 2020. Have you guys seen that? Like, man, remember like COVID lockdown? Man, I miss the days of not being able to go outside and like the prices of like toilet paper going up and not being able to take a shit.
I remember feeling like the apocalypse was happening and the world was crumbling around me. Oh,
yeah.
How fun. Like,
man,
I
isn't that so nostalgic? Just like 2012. Remember when the world was going to end in 2012?
Oh, my
man,
God.
What are some things from 2012 that you guys remember?
I mean, 2020 was all right for me.
I'm trying to remember. What are some things from 2012 that I fucking remember?
I'm just going to keep doing this bit over and over again.
Listen, all I'm saying is I worked during 2020 and I was like outside and like there was less people. So that was all right.
Yeah, I went outside more than ever in 2020 because I was like, oh, nobody outside. I can just like walk around and I don't have people looking at me and I don't have to look at these filthy, disgusting fucking meat puppets that just slobs fucking walking around.
Bro, the lions like, went crazy.
Fucking piece of shit, man. I hate that guy.
I loved 2020 lions.
And then you got COVID.
I mean,
I never got COVID.
I didn't even know I got COVID. I didn't even know I got it. So
yeah, but you still got it, bitch.
See, I don't feel nostalgic for 2020 because 2020 was not any different from 2019. It's like, oh, I can't go outside anymore. Shame. Darn. Oh, all my classes are remote now. The tragedy. You mean I just get to stay inside at all times?
Oh no.
Oh no. I don't know. How am I ever?
Great time for gamers.
Yeah, great time for people who kind of hiss at the sun whenever they go outside. It's like, has it always been this fucking bright? Jesus Christ. I've had that moment a few times.
You can just hear it like frying on your skin.
Yeah, just feeling like, how are you? I wasn't aware it was possible for a person to be this. You look like a cadaver, honestly.
Just full on albino.
Yeah. It's funny, we were actually talking about nostalgic shit yesterday with my brother. Because I guess we were talking about brain rot stuff. And I was talking about how, like, I feel like brain rot was basically invented in the early 2000s. With, like, I don't know, maybe there was 90s. There's probably,
you know what it actually
rot.
Is?
There was definitely 90s like brain rot with stuff like, I mean, it was a lot of like stuff on like MTV. Obviously, you had stuff Tom Green, stuff like that. Or
was Beavis and Butthead? Would that be considered brain rot?
Freddy Got Fingered is definitely brain rot.
Yeah, and then there was fucking.
But what I wanted to say is that I feel like people say brain rot anymore because like people don't say meme anymore. Have you guys like noticed that? People don't really say meme.
Yeah, I remember when people used to call things memes, or
Yeah, remember memes like "Here Come Dad Boy"?
Look at this meme I made.
And Harambe.
Like,
what was it? What was it before memes? Was
remember
it like
Ugandan
fads?
Knuckles?
What they were called?
I wouldn't say that was the same thing.
Well, no, but like it was like because like the word meme had not been used on the internet in like the 2000s, really. But they still what we would call memes still existed, but they had like a different name. Like people called them something else, and I forget what they were called.
If you're talking about a meme as like the 6-7 meme, like now that would be a fad. But like,
yeah,
I remember like in the late 2000s, people would call it like basically just demotivational posters memes, and that was what a meme was. Like, I'm gonna make a meme, and they would just make like a picture with a text on it.
Yeah.
Whereas like it's clearly like evolved past that into public lexicon now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we don't have Velociraptor anymore.
There was literally a show on MTV in the early 90s called The Idiot Box with Alex Winter from Bill and Ted that, yeah, no, this is literally like just like brain rot type stuff. Yeah, stuff like this. So it's always kind of existed in some capacity. Probably since the 80s, I'd imagine, like probably late 80s is when we kind of start to see this more absurdist.
I mean, old cartoons were brain rotted to shit.
Yeah. Like, you could like, because I'm thinking of things like Weird Al is kind of like a proto version of that to an extent, where it's like a lot of like parody, satire, like irony kind of stuff. Or even before that with like Andy Kaufman would be like a good example of that as well. So it's kind of like always existed, at least for past 40 some years. It's just in different strains.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, you got like YouTube Poops. YouTube. Also just Brain Rot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about, but he was like, he seemed to be under the impression basically like YouTube Poop was like the original Brain Rot, and I was explaining to him, like, because I showed him AMV Hell, and I was like, this is basically Brain Rot. And he's like, he was confused as to like, he was like, whether or not that predated like YouTube Poops. I'm like, dog, this is before YouTube. And he's like, where, how do you even watch it? It's like Yahoo video.
Here we go. This is what I call brain rot.
Man, this is gonna go hard on Spotify.
Don't worry, I'm recording the browser audio. They're gonna hear fucking Andy Kaufman making weird sounds while playing bongos.
I can't wait for that.
I mean, I guess you could go even further back to like much more like surreal psychedelic stuff in like the 60s and 70s. I guess there is a problem though in terms of like tracing a lineage in terms of influence.
Do you think Frank Zappa was brain rot?
Yes. Yeah. Frank Zappa, and then especially Trout Mask Replica. That's a good brain rot album.
Yeah, that's just a giant shitpost album.
Yeah, basically
that's a meme album.
So going back to nostalgia.
Yes.
What are your feelings on nostalgia kind of just being, like collapsed into this like single, it's almost like moe in a way, whereas like nostalgia originally was like describing a feeling that you had specifically, whereas like now there are a lot of people that might use nostalgia for like nostalgic anime, and they're just talking about like 80s anime that they never watched for any nostalgia purposes.
Oh, like Animoya.
Yeah, like that. But they're just like, just the concrete,
I don't know,
term.
I feel like that's always been a thing, because I remember like hearing James Rolfe talking about watching like black and white movies and, you know, old like Warner Brothers cartoons, and, you know, that's obviously way before his time, but I think there's always been an appeal to things that were made like before you were born. I mean, that's essentially like how I got into a lot of like anime. I mean, I also went down kind of the same pathway in a sense, is watching really old movies and stuff like that. Always played really old video games because I couldn't afford, you know, buying the new consoles and the new games for them. And so I just had like my Super Nintendo. And so like the Super Nintendo was before my time, but I played my Super Nintendo more than a lot of the things that I actually have, and I'm a lot more fond about it. Like, the Wii was during my time, but, like, even back then, I had more fun with my Super Nintendo, and now I look back more fondly on the Super Nintendo.
I guess, like, I feel like I've seen when people talk about, like, oh, nostalgic anime, and they just post, like, 90s or 80s anime, like, where you could just broadly called like retro anime,
or they'll post an anime airing right now with a green filter
with a green
colored
filter,
slightly pink, and be like, man, wasn't anime so just, you know, classic anime, gotta love it, and it's fucking
Bunny Girl Senpai.
Yeah, Bunny Girl Senpai, Blue Box.
Like, I guess if you're being generous, would you, is there, I guess, like, can you just be nostalgic for, like, an animation style or, like, era, and then you would then be nostalgic for things that were made in that style slash era?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really feel that, but yeah.
When I was really young, I remember I was at my grandma's house at some point, and I saw, was it Supermouth? Mouth? Super Mouse. Or Thunder Mouse. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of the cartoon, but I grew really fond of that, like, style of animation. I think it might have been, like, from the 70s or something. So now, when I watch, like... I mean, anime is, you know, from Japan, obviously, so it's not quite the same.
But
it has a lot of the same appeal. I'm talking about watching old cartoons on TV at my grandma's house.
Anime's from
watching,
Japan?
Watching, like, the movements, even. No. I'm lying.
Oh.
Why would you do that? Why would you come on the podcast and lie like that?
Shut the fuck up.
Interrupting a story.
Point being, I can watch a show like Mazinger Z now and be like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling this. Aside from the fact that I haven't been enjoying Mazinger Z, like, at all for a while now. But, like, that appeal of it being, you know, from the 70s and having that certain, you know, choppiness to the animation and all the animation errors and stuff like that. Or, you know, in old Tom and Jerry cartoons, you would have... you know, like, objects in the background that were colored different from the background because they were supposed to be interacted with. I can see that in a movie or something, you know, anime or otherwise now, and be like, oh, okay, that's going to move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, an appealing thing to me as someone who, like, is younger than the thing that was made during that time, like, that style of animation.
I wonder if that has to do with, like, how you engage with media, in the sense of, like, if you're really into, like, because, like, I feel like I don't get nostalgic necessarily for, like, visuals like that. Like, there are things with those visuals I get nostalgic for, but it's not that I'm getting nostalgic for the visual component or, like, the visceral sort of experience of watching it. It's more that I'm nostalgic for maybe, like, the characters, or maybe some of, like, the plot beats and moments or something. Because, like, I think about the stuff I am nostalgic for, like Ava or Fooly Cooly or whatever, it's not that I'm necessarily nostalgic for the presentation, like the cell animation. I'm nostalgic for, like, certain scenes that resonated with me as a kid.
Well, I think when you watched Evangelion and Fooly Cooly, you were, like, older than me watching those cartoons. Because, like, back then, like, I, you know, having limited understanding of, like, language and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you pick up on more, like, audiovisual things, I feel like most people would. And so most of my nostalgia comes from, like, the music and, like, animation especially, and maybe less so, like, the characterization, because I don't really care for a lot of the characterization and, you know, older shows. Not all of them, but it doesn't speak to me the same way, you know, like a slice of life show from the 2000s would, right. Because that's when I started getting more into anime as a sentient teenager, being able to, like, having a more defined taste of what I enjoy. Whereas back then it was just, you know, thing that was on TV. But, oh, this one is, like, kind of different.
Unlike other,
and, like, kind of cool.
As I'm saying that, like, I'm thinking about it, and, like, I guess I do kind of get nostalgic for some shots in, like, Totoro when I think back about it. Like, one of the shots that always kind of stays with me is when they look under the house and Mei is, like, chasing after the blue and the white little Totoros. And, like, she looks under the house, and then there's, like, an acorn under the house. And, like, the way that, like, the VHS quality on the TV and, like, that kind of contrast and graininess to it kind of all blended together, like, creates a very specific, like, visual style that I kind of get nostalgic for. But, like, I feel like that's not a common thing. Like, I don't know if I could replicate that.
I mean,
that.
I think it ties into what I was talking about, where, you know,
as when you're younger, you just, there's, like, a more limited way of, like, engaging with the media. Yeah.
Yeah, but like video quality is an extension of, you know, video as in, you know, the core like base animation and everything like that. If we're specifically talking about animation, right. You know, if you have like an old live action show, like on DVD or a movie or something like that, it can be like the certain way that it's shot or like that it's lit. I feel like lighting in like older movies and TV shows is like what I'm most nostalgic for when it comes to like live action stuff, that and like physical props and that kind of stunt work.
Yeah.
I find very appealing.
For me, thinking about it, it's like, I don't like the feeling of being taken back to like a certain point in my childhood. Like I could think of like, oh, if I'm watching this TV show, I can like kind of close my eyes and imagine myself in the living room, like watching, and it's like on the TV and it's like a sunny summer. I don't like thinking about that. That's like, I can watch something like fucking the iCarly episode where they go to Japan, and I'm watching it now as like a grown adult who knows things about Japan, and I'm just like, why did they land in like a random empty patch and they're like within walking distance of Tokyo? None of this makes any sense. I can watch it now, but if I try and like watch something like that and use it as a means to like transport me to some time, you know, in the past, then I'm just kind of like, no, I don't like that feeling, honestly. I react very negatively to that, if anything.
Why?
Because like it takes you back to a certain time when at least this is the way I feel, especially hearing like certain songs, like the song Just Give Me a Reason by Pink is, you know, a pretty good song. But like I have very negative associations with it because of a certain time in my life. Yeah. And so anytime I hear that song, I think of that one interaction, and I just like crawl up in a ball and like I want to end myself.
Yeah, it's not like I had like an unhappy childhood, but I don't have like the rose tinted view of being like a kid or a teenager. Like I never bought into the whole when people say like, you know, you look back on your days in high school is the greatest time of your life. I look back and I go, no, as a matter of fact, it was not. If anything, I feel a lot happier now that I don't have to worry about shit like school. All right. It's like I look back on like my teenage years. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I was like perpetually stressed out and just kind of angry and annoyed and, you know, probably just unhappy compared to like how I am now, where I'm, you know, I'm perpetually angry and unhappy, but I'm not stressed out. I'm actually very relaxed because I have alcohol now.
Well, you didn't have that as a kid?
No. I never really started drinking until I turned 21.
What the fuck?
It was just like bottles and bottles every single day. It's like constantly blacking out like on the streets.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a feeling like that from my childhood, so...
I have fond memories of my childhood. I have no desire to like return to such a state, like the movie 17 starring Zac Efron.
I don't understand that one. I don't understand why you would want to go back to being a child if you were an adult.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the idea of like revisiting your childhood with like an adult mindset. And I guess it's like kind of what I touched on earlier about being nostalgic for things that you couldn't fully appreciate in the moment, but now you realize, you know, what you had back then.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like my parents did a good enough job of like preparing me for that, I guess. Cause like my mom would be like, oh, you know, you have to take, enjoy it while you can.
Oh, you're kind such of thing. A mama's boy, Mumi.
She'd be like, enjoy it while you can or whatever. So like, I feel like I was at least like lucid enough to like take that and kind of roll with it. So there's never been like a moment where I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and relive that moment that I didn't know I was missing. It's, I kind of just feel like it all just levels out the same. Like, I don't
know. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a similar boat as Sai, where, like, I'm just a lot happier right now.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, my life is not, like, fully perfect and everything like that, but, like, I have a much healthier relationship, like, with my mom. Like, we actually talk now and, you know, everything like that. Mm-hmm. I make a lot more friends online. It's easier for me to just talk to and reach out to people in general. Whereas, like, when I was a kid, I would, like, be paralyzed at the thought of just saying hello to people because of, like, how anxious I was. And that's just not really as much of the case anymore. And part of that is, like, growing up to be a more responsible adult, and not fully, like, needing the support of my parents and family. Mm-hmm. And so I'm able to just stand on my own 2 feet a lot better. Mm-hmm. And that's made it so there's a lot less, like, internal, like, turmoil, both between, like, me and my parents, let's say, but also, like, them and me. Well, I guess my mom more specifically.
Yeah.
Like, we've both had time to, like, figure each other out better. And that's just led to a much healthier adulthood for me, where I'm I still don't look back fondly on my childhood at all. But now I'm in a state where, like, you know, life is okay. I'll just do whatever I can. You know, I'm probably going to die someday. That's fine, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
People die, you know.
I'll fucking die. All my friends will die. All of this will be for nothing.
I do sometimes feel nostalgia for... Wow, that was dark. I do sometimes...
What a delayed reaction.
Yeah. I do sometimes feel nostalgia for, like, time periods I never experienced. Like, I remember watching the movie American Graffiti, directed by George Lucas before Star Wars. I remember watching that movie, and it takes place in, like, the 1950s, or maybe it was, like early 60s, maybe like 1961, 1962. And it's just about these, like, teenagers, like, at the end of high school, just kind of, you know, this small town, just kind of, like, cruising around just this one night. It's a very slice of life movie. And I'm just like, yeah, man, I wish I was around in the 50s, where, you know, you just cruising around on these streets. You know, listen to the radio, you got these girls, and there are no black people around.
Oh my God. Why did I know you're
except
going
for on the radio? No, there are no black people in the movie is the thing. It's kinda weird to be like, oh yeah.
Was that a positive for you when you're writing your review on Letterboxd? Are you gonna list that as a positive?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a woke movie. It is funny to watch a movie and be like, I mean, it's kinda like the thing when any kind of, like, return. You know, we got to go back to the 50s kind of thing, where it's just like, yeah, yeah, unless you're black, you know, if you're a white person, it's pretty great. And if not, well,
the 90s, you got the 90s.
Got the 90s, yeah. When there was, you know, there was no, they really, the 90s was the peak of not having any sort of racial conflict, yeah. or anything like that. Yeah, yeah. Nothing. Nothing. Everyone got along in the 90s. And really, it was 9/11 is kind of what ruined everything when you think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids born after 9/11 don't understand.
I was born before 9/11.
I think we were all born before 9/11 because Mumi was born in the fucking, like, 1800s.
Mumi can remember 9/11, actually. Mumi, are you nostalgic?
Mumi,
for
what do you remember about it?
Do you remember where you were at on 9/11?
Yeah, I was at school.
Oh.
Yeah, that was... I remember... Basically, I remember, like, people started having... Like, there was, like, rumblings and stuff. Because, like, I guess some of the teachers were, like, trying to sneak out of class. They're like, oh, just self-study for a second. And then just, like, disappear for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I guess there are kids that went to the nurse or... happened to be around like an office or something, and they would like overhear people. So like, you would, there'd be like rumblings, like, oh, did you hear there was a bomb or something, like, you know, that kind of thing. I was
expecting you to be like, yeah, I remember where I was at during 9/11. We were, George Bush was actually reading to our class.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy being in that class.
Part of history. But yeah, no, I
probably history class too.
I actually didn't know it actually happened until I got picked up early, because like a lot of like businesses and stuff were like, oh yeah, everyone can leave. It was like hard to do work, I guess.
There's gonna be more planes.
Yeah, hard to do work, I guess, when everyone's like, what the fuck?
I got picked up. Happened?
I got picked up. Apparently, they had like a whole policy where they're not telling the kids. And I get to fucking the house, and I turn on the news, and I think like they had just discovered the plane that like went into the field.
Oh yeah, like in Pennsylvania or wherever.
Yeah. So like, I saw a lot of news coverage on that, and then you go back to the the towers had already collapsed.
Like, I didn't see that. Yeah.
Most of the footage I was seeing was like the field on fire, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
Not very
Yeah, 2001.
I had a fucking
crazy year.
I'm still trying to reconcile this shit. Where like I had when I was at a bar in Japan, they were trying to tell us that they were in some class, like technology class, and they were working on radios.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to say that like they put together a radio and then they picked up a signal or something. And it was talking about 9/11 and the planes hitting the towers and all that. And it just happened. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I feel like you're lying to me. Like, I feel like this is one of those, like, cause like initially you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And then like, you keep thinking about it. You're like, Japan is 14 to 15 hours ahead of the US. Yeah. It was 10 AM, 9 AM when the planes hit. It should have been like in the middle of the night.
I mean, they could have been working in the middle of here. Let's pull up a time zone.
No, they were supposed to be in school.
Here, we'll go. So
should be like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Wait, why isn't it? Let me fucking. Okay, yeah, there we go. So if it, let's say 9:30, so it'll be like 11 p.m. That's a reason. If you're like up late working on a project, you know,
they're in school. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe they were saying they were working on a radio for a school project.
Mm-hmm.
And they
got to stay up to watch some late night anime in 2001. What are some 2001 late night anime? What are some good?
Hayden is desperately trying to 2001. Take this podcast back to talking about anime instead of talking about 9/11.
That's crazy. Supergals
Supergals was a good one.
Was it late night though?
No, it's a show made for little girls.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe.
What anime are y'all nostalgic for?
Are there any 2001 anime that I'm nostalgic for? I am nostalgic for Kirby Right Back At Ya. That was one where one of my substitute teachers, she didn't know anything about anime and video games. She loved Elvis, but she loved Kirby. Like sometimes we would go over to her apartment because it was close by the school, and like we just put on. Well, I would just put on Kirby.
Huh.
And she loved it. She was a nice lady. I wonder what she's up to.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Maybe like Bakugan, probably. And then Full Metal Alchemist, I guess. Maybe Durarara. Or I remember distinctly as a kid getting Rurouni Kenshin and Kekkai Sensen mixed up because they were both like samurai shows that had characters with bandages like wrapped around them. So I remember watching those and, like
both made by pedophiles,
thinking they were the same show for some reason.
They're the same show.
Basically, yeah. I mean, they're basically the same show. Other than that, it would be like anime in like 2012, 2013. Let me see. Like stuff that I watched very early on, like Aesthetica of a Rogue Hero. That one, Daijitachi, probably High School DxD.
I think 2011 is when I, like, I had watched Soul Eater. Like, it wasn't finished when I started watching it, so I guess I kind of watched that as it aired. But I think 2011 is when I started watching, like, seasonal anime. The first one I remember, like, actually, like, actively keeping up with was Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, which I watched since episode 1, and then followed that weekly. That was fun.
I'm not nostalgic for any shows from this period, but I'm nostalgic for, like, talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this would have been when I started talking about seasonals regularly. So, like, I'm nostalgic for, like, that kind of irreverent, like, 4chan posting about early 2010s anime. But I'm not nostalgic for the shows themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I am nostalgic for, like, oh, it's kind of weird because, like, I'm not nostalgic for Naruto, but I'm nostalgic for, like, the Akaboshi ED, the first ED for Naruto.
Oh, yeah.
But then I am nostalgic. I am kind of nostalgic for, like, Inuyasha.
Interesting. What about, like, the Inuyasha, like, openings? Because, like, I can definitely get, like, a sense of nostalgia from, like the first Brotherhood opening. And stuff like that.
I mean, I am nostalgic for the Edies of Inuyasha, because okay. I really like My Will.
Well, you know how Mumi feels about the Inuyasha OPs.
Oh yeah, I don't like those. But they also like didn't play them on Toonami anyway.
Did they? Okay.
No, they just played the Edies, which so I'm nostalgic for like My Will and Fukai Mori, the Duo's Infinity ED. Really, a lot of the EDs I'm pretty nostalgic for.
Can you all confirm something so that I'm not fucking crazy? I feel like with these, like, shonen shows, it's always OP2 that's, like, the one that's really nostalgic. Is that just me?
Might just be you, yeah.
Like, Soul Eater Paper Moon was always my favorite one. I
mean, Soul Eater only had two OPs.
Yeah, but I like Paper Moon more than I like the first one.
Brotherhood doesn't OP2 is not more nostalgic than like Yui or Cid.
I'd say it is for me, at least. Didn't really grow up with Full Metal Alchemist the same way.
Yeah, I'm gonna say probably the first two like openings the best. For Full Metal Alchemist are nostalgic for me. Real quick,
isn't the second opening for the original Full Metal Alchemist the one by Larkin CL?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, that's one everyone knows because that's the one that played for like the English dub version. That was the one that played for three fourths of the show because they just decided they weren't going to do.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, so is Melissa. The remaining openings. And Melissa and Undo are good.
Yeah.
I mean, Undo is not as good as Ready, Steady, Go, but like, Melissa's like super nostalgic for people that aren't American or watch the English dub because that was like the first, like, I feel like that one is the one that stood out more for most audiences. It's like, that's the one that gets referenced more in like otaku kind of media.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like the West, they just decided that Ready, Steady, Go, because I guess it said stuff in English, was the way to go. And that's when they mark and seal.
You want to know like the modern, like, classic, iconic anime opening is?
What's that?
The Sword Art Online opening, because it fucking comes up in the goddamn touring, Shumatsu touring show. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Crossing Fields,
that
good.
That is like the one good song that Lisa made.
Oh, come on.
That is like the one good song that she made.
I
like her stuff on Angel Beats, too.
I was going to say, you can't tell me you don't like the Angel Beats shit she did.
I like her shit on Angel Beats. I don't think she made anything good after that.
Damn, fell off.
I mean, Crossing Fields,
I like, good. I like the Legend of Galactic Heroes songs she does.
That's the wrong Lisa.
Wrong Lisa.
the thing that fucks me up at first watching
Legend of Galactic Heroes being like, wait, what? What do you mean Lisa?
Damn, she's fucking immortal.
She's way older than I fucking thought.
it fucks me up with the Angel Beats OPs, because like the first the original OP is done by Lea, and then they have the Lisa version where they just add an S. And they don't even.
Do you think like Lea is just like an amoeba split off from like Lisa, and they just like took away her S?
Took away her S. Why is that? That sounds weird.
See, this is what the woke is trying to do to you. They're trying to take away women's S's.
I don't know if I like this. What does that mean?
I'm saying she's a fucking amoeba, but like she's missing a letter. And that's what makes her different.
I think 2025 is too woke for. I don't think you can talk about people being different because they're missing a letter anymore. That's
what's wrong with that?
Shut the fuck up, Mooey. let's go back to talking about nostalgia. In this, hey, Ann, what are some things you're nostalgic for?
Wait, we already didn't Hayden say what they're? Oh no, you didn't.
I mean, I guess I've mentioned like some things. And I'll try to think of some nostalgic anime. Moomin, I remember watching on TV.
Oh yeah,
always loved that. Was always scared the shit out of, or really scared of. What's it called? The Grok. You remember the Grok?
Was that like the precursor to the Rake?
The Grinch.
Is that the, you mean the fucking Twitter
Merry
AI
Christmas
thing?
To everybody listening on.
If you're listening this week, it is a Christmas episode, technically.
I guess, technically. Yeah. Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy
enjoy
holidays.
Your fucking coal.
And enjoy stuffing your fucking face in your commercial present bullshit, all right?
You fat fucking slob.
We got the obligational fucking Christmas shit in there, all right?
There we go.
No, are you nostalgic for Christmas?
Yeah, now it's officially a Christmas.
I can't kind remember of. Some Christmases.
I think my relationship with Christmas is really strange, because like I never grew up with like Christmas music, and so like now when I'm an adult, like hearing Christmas music like at the mall or whatever, like whenever I'm going shopping, or even just like hearing my mom play it, because like she would never play it when I was little. I'm just like, I fucking hate all of this. This fucking sucks. Or like being at my job and like hearing Christmas music the whole day. It's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Can we not just play normal music? What the fuck? You should fucking bullshit.
No, you must listen to Mariah Carey more.
Exactly. I don't know if I am as nostalgic for like Christmas as I am nostalgic, or really just drawn to like the imagery of like a city at night with like snow. Like that's always been really appealing. I think of like Frostman stage from Mega Man 8. That's like my favorite aesthetic just ever.
It's a good vibe.
Just that kind of big capital city with like, you know, the lights coming out of the apartments, just like lighting the whole thing up.
See, I kind of like the more like Midwest kind of thing. Like here's a good like album cover to show what I mean, where it's like just like this kind of like Midwestern town with these like 2-3 story houses.
I listened to that recently.
They're all covered in snow. It's got like this like kind of overcast vibe. This is what I like here. Like, we should put together a mood board.
No.
Yeah, like a Lana Del Rey mood board.
I am good. I don't think I need a mood board.
I don't really. I'm thinking back now, being like, oh man, remember Emperor opening presents on Christmas? And it's the same thing where I'm like, yeah, I do. I don't want to go back. I don't want to think about that, though. I don't like thinking about that, even though it's like, oh, what a happy time. It's like, no, because I don't do that now. And I don't want to be reminded that that's not something I do anymore and can't do anymore, because it's no longer appropriate for an adult to do that.
I mean, you could open presents on Christmas.
I could find some people on Craigslist that I could pay to put presents under the Christmas tree for me, and then wake me up on Christmas morning like I'm a kid, and then, you know, me with my fake Craigslist family, we all open presents under the Christmas tree.
I mean, I wasn't.
You just like walk down your the stairs, like fucking cum dripping out of your cock, just like full of smegma.
Just fucking as like there's a prostitute behind you that's just leaving, and so like presents. Oh my god! Start tearing it open.
As there's like
oh
a
my,
green
a
physical
fucking
smoke cloud.
Is there a like new Xbox? They still make Xbox. What?
It's like the Blastoise kid.
What's the Blastoise kid?
Wait, you don't know this?
No.
Blastoise kid.
Was he dripping cum out of his cock?
Maybe he has an extreme reaction. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
What the fuck is this? Wait. Why is it always like music playing over it? Oh yeah, Nintendo 64. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Look how happy kids were in the 90s.
Yeah. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I just need to start spending money to be a kid again.
I feel like that's what happened. Yeah.
Do you guys feel nostalgic for being happy?
No.
Before my mind was ruined with SSRIs.
That kind of go hard as alcohol. Album title, Nostalgia for Being Happy.
Nostalgia for Being Happy.
And it's just like EDM.
No, I feel like the what you just described, I need to use my fucking money to like buy my child. I feel like that is what's ruined so much shit now. If I'm being honest.
Well, I mean, isn't that always been the case?
Not to this extent. Like, yeah, people would like
maybe
buy. Listen, people would buy Pokemon cards and they were kind of expensive. They were at a point where they were like scalping them, where children could not buy Pokemon cards and reselling them for like twice the price online.
Well, maybe not for Pokemon because that was like a new thing, but like, I feel like, I don't know, you probably got that with like baseball cards or something.
I feel like baseball
again,
cards,
maybe not to the same
extent. Baseball cards, I don't think have ever gotten to this point. Like the shit that's happening now with like Pokemon resellers and scalpers is fucking insane. And it the only closest equivalent I could think of is like the retro game market. And it's not even like.
Well, I mean, it's basically the same thing. Because like nostalgia right now is basically a market where you have so many people who are just basically miserable.
Yeah.
And like the only way that they can find happiness is looking back on what they deem to be better days.
But I feel like it's worse.
Back when they got shoved into the locker and got called gay.
I feel like it's worse with Pokemon though, specifically.
In the bathroom with a broomstick.
Cause like it's bad.
And heard gunshots every day.
Oh my god. It's bad for like retro games, but like they're also old. So like the scarcity kind of just makes sense. They're not like kids are not going out and trying to buy, you know, Mario and have someone that buys like 20 copies of Mario.
A lot of retro games are also still pretty cheap. It's only certain ones that are more expensive.
A lot are still cheap. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think across the board, a lot have gone up to like kind of ridiculous prices too.
It's like, oh my god, instead of paying $4 for Imagine Ice Skater, I have to pay $5 now.
I mean, a lot, like, I feel like the problem with, like, retro game stuff, though, is, like, if the games that are expensive are the games that people actually want, and, like, there are games that people don't even want that are still
also
expensive.
It's also a supply and demand thing, because something like Mario Kart DS or, like, New Super Mario Brothers, these games were so mass-produced. And people don't necessarily have like the kind of attachment to them, so they are just willing to be like, fucking sell. I don't give a fucking shit. I'm gonna always buy it later. Whereas like,
it is insane how like we've gotten to the point where like these old Pokemon games are like hundreds of dollars now.
And that's because people have a lot more like emotional attachment to like their Pokemon saves. Or God, I
do. Before I forget, I do quickly want to call out the fucking Pokemon community right now.
Oh, okay.
You know those call videos out on YouTube that are like exploring old game saves on Pokemon Platinum?
Yeah.
They like showcase, you know, oh, this guy got 2 seconds into the game and then gave up. Well, that was fucking lame. Oh, this guy made it to the Elite Four and his whole six-party team spells out the N-word. So you have, like, all of these videos now. And, like, you have people in the comment section, you know, reminiscing on, you know, their save file and everything like that. And I'm just sitting here being like, you know, this is just fucking scalping.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are just buying the games and, like, hoarding them to, like, either resell or just have, like, infinite, basically just hoarding, like, for the sake of hoarding. Like, who needs fucking 12 copies of Pokemon fucking Crystal? Like, nobody needs that many copies. What the fuck are you doing? Suck my dick.
Also kind of just
I just hate that it's become such a, like, normal thing, especially in the Pokemon community, because I can't think of, like, any other game that that really applies to.
There are other games like this that I have seen at game stores where I'll be like, why the fuck is this game so expensive? Oh, it's like a creature collector kind of game. I can't remember. God, there was one that I saw with Gilner and Philly at this game store. I can't remember what it was, but it was some game that I had never heard of before for the 3DS that was like $125. And I'm like, why?
Oh, what?
Why?
I guess, like, maybe you get that with, like, Animal Crossing as well. Yeah. I don't know, like, the prices on those games, but it's, you know, especially bad with Pokemon. It just pisses me off that, like, it's become such an accepted part, like, of the community and nobody fucking questions it.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, oh, I can just emulate these. Oh.
Yeah, but, like,
I don't need,
it's still kind of fucking suck. Like, if you want to play, because if you want to do stuff on official hardware and, like, actually have that experience, if you were, like, in the unfortunate position where, like, you sold a game or, like, your parents sold your games or something when you were younger, and now you just can't get those games back unless you want to spend $100 and something, it's fucked up.
As much as I hate to say it, too, like, playing it on real hardware just is a different thing. So, like, I had a Game Boy Advance when I was a kid, and, like, I still have that same GBA that I had as a kid that I now. And, like, playing Pokemon Crystal on that, you know, it does, I hate to say it, it does hit different.
I mean, they do make carts and stuff for that, where you can, like, boot up a ROM of like, a game onto this cartridge that has, like, an SD card slot.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, you can just do that.
Sure, but it's still not the same thing because I can see the game popping out from the bottom.
Yeah,
of it,
the little like the game backside of it. Ball, which I understand.
I also don't
think that's exactly my gamer erection.
Like, I think if you wanted to, like, take those Pokemon somewhere else, I don't think you can really trade unless you're doing, like, some kind of save scrubbing thing.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because, like, I've in more recent years, I've completed my Pokedex on Pokemon Yellow, because I wanted to print out my diploma, which was with this shitty, like, Game Boy printer. Like, that's something I never got to do as a kid, but I can do it now.
Yeah,
I guess, like, revisiting, like, a part of my childhood and doing something that I never got the chance to because I didn't have, like, the correct hardware. And, like, I've been doing the same thing on Pokemon Crystal. I haven't gotten a full Pokedex just yet. But I did get Celebi, like, without using any, like, cheat codes or anything like that, just using, like, the game itself, which was pretty cool.
For me, it's not so much a matter of, like, because I like Beyblades. Beyblades are my thing.
Yeah, why don't you just emulate Beyblades, you fucking idiot? Yeah.
I'm not trying to get, like, back the Beyblades that I had as a kid, because I don't care. For me, it's mostly just a matter of, like, well, I like these things just as a concept in general. There's new ones coming out. I think it would be nice to, like, buy the new ones as they're coming out and collect them and, you know, spend an irresponsible amount of money doing so, which is something you can't do as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah, now it's like spend money on Beyblades or crack.
pay my prostitute pay my Beyblade dealer.
Pay off my pay off my student loans. never happened.
Pay for child support or cocaine.
I feel like I kind of was able to like capture a bit of that when I got back into Yu-Gi-Oh for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't really get back into it specifically for nostalgia reasons. I kind of just was like interested in the game, but
yeah,
there's like some nostalgia. Like obviously you kind of look at like some of the older cards. You're like, man, I remember when this deck was fucking meta or whatever. It seems like Yu-Gi-Oh is kind of dying now, I guess.
Nah, because like the...
I mean, it has been dying for a long
this
time.
This was also during like COVID, like, when people started getting into hobbies again.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess like stores...
You see they're doing like full art cards
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I did. Like, or they start announcing that or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I keep seeing, like, I keep getting recommended like videos where like people are like talking about how like box prices are like unattainable, where it's like a store will have to pay $60-$70 for a box, and within like
6-7
and within like 2 or 3 weeks that box is on TCG Player for like $40. And so like these stores are like stuck holding this bag of this box that they had to buy so they can maintain their fucking OTS status or whatever through Konami. And they can't sell this box. They keep losing money on shit. And they're just like,
what the fuck is OTS status?
It's their tournament thing. I don't know what they call it. I don't know what OTS is.
Oh, so it's like tournament. It's like a thing you need to pay this pound of flesh for you to have like official Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments at your event or whatever.
Yeah, basically. Like you have to have you
so
sign up
cringe.
As like a yeah, you have to sign up like a fucking contract kind of thing where it's like you had to buy their product to then host their tournaments. You can't just host tournaments on your own. I mean, you can, but then you won't get like officially sanctioned. Like you don't get these like tournament packs or whatever.
Yeah. Instead you need to pay money for some, man, I love capitalism. Anyway, I think the thing that I appreciate now is being able to go to the store, go to the video game section in the store and being like, yeah, I can afford these things now. Anyway, and just leave. I'm not going to fucking play them anyway. Why would I buy a PlayStation 5?
I got Blue Archive.
I mean, speaking of this shit, Hayden, do you know what the irate gamer is up to these days?
I sure fucking do.
Yeah, I became aware of that this last week. I did not know this. Viewers, listeners at home, you can play along. Search up Puppet Steve.
If you say Puppet Steve, oh my fucking, you fool, you fucking idiot. This is old news. You don't fucking know anything about Irate Gamer.
No, I don't.
What is, I'm sorry. Okay. What am I supposed to do? Wait,
why did you search up Irate Steve?
Fucking Puppet Steve on YouTube is Irate Gamer, just under a different fucking thing.
Yeah.
What?
You don't know about Puppet Steve? Everybody knows about Puppet Steve, you fucking moron. Come on.
What is this?
I didn't know about Puppet Steve.
It's Irate Gamer. He's got over 1 million subscribers.
And not a lot of views.
And
why
it is
so
just
subs? Why.
Because he makes videos for children.
Yeah, this is all going to the children section. This is awful. Like, this is actually terrible. Look at that one Five Nights at Farts one real quick. Just pull that one up.
Pull that one
down on the left side.
Down?
Yeah, on the left side. Down one more.
Oh.
Fucking, didn't Max Mofo... Yeah, Max Mofo already did a thing for
this.
This
is 6 years ago.
I mean, it didn't get any better. It's about the same.
It is really interesting how, like, you watch this and it's just exactly the same as Irate Gamer.
I don't like that he's wearing gloves.
Well, he's Puppet Steve. You gotta wear the gloves.
I mean, but that creates the implication that his actual hands are dirty.
Well, I mean, if you touch these things, they're probably gonna get dirty.
World's Groupiest Wizards, World's Groupiest Robots, and World's Groupiest Video Game Characters. Oh,
This feels like a parody of kids' content.
Yeah, but he does this for all his videos.
And this is not a bit, is what you're saying.
No, he's been keeping this up for like years and years and
years.
Yeah,
he's not getting a lot of views now, so I assume this is like a fetish thing for him.
I mean, he might get a lot. It says it's kids' content. It feels like it probably just depends on how popular the thing he's talking about is.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I don't know about talking about. Yeah, like Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
HeroClix, like Doctor the best thing Strange, to show kids. Marvel Spidey, Batman the Animated Series, Spider-Man. None of these are really getting that many. This one has some views.
I like how he just cannot escape his own, like, boomer nostalgia, and so he'll be talking about like the Simpsons and shit.
The Fraggle Rock, like, this toys is just, that's what kids want.
This is just Irate the 80s.
Irate the 80s.
Do you guys know about Irate the 80s?
No.
Is that an iCarly episode?
Oh my god. Oh my god, you guys don't know fucking anything about Irate Gamer. No, I hate you guys.
No, I don't.
No. I
oh my
I'm,
god.
I'm proud of the fact I don't know anything about this guy.
So what are some YouTubers you guys remember watching?
I Hate Everything.
Me too.
Matthew Nostalgia Matosis. Critic.
Oh, the first YouTuber I ever really watched. Chugga Conroy.
Chugga Conroy.
I did
watch the people that people would talk about all the time is shit like that Kelly Shoes video by Charlie the Unicorn. I didn't watch those YouTubers consistently or anything though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I might.
Like a lot of like Minecraft Let's Plays, like X Adventures in Minecraft, or what else? What have we been after that?
There was a Swedish guy I remember watching called Stamside. He had a series called My Life in Minecraft.
I'm watching like
My Life in Minecraft.
Your Movie Sucks. Like, My Life about, like, in the Minecraft. Stuff. I was never very nostalgic for like a lot of the old YouTube videos I watched, because I go back and watch them now and I'm like, man, this sucks. What the fuck? Like, I could not imagine.
Yeah.
With the exception of maybe, I don't know, some like Filthy Frank videos, like Hair Cake or something. There's not a lot that I could go back and watch and be like, this was a good, well-crafted, well-made video that I would want to watch today.
I think it's more about, like, instead of the videos being good, just being able to, like, see what you used to be able to get away with. So there was this Pokemon Let's Player named Hayden, Hayden, who still makes videos. Yeah, take a fucking guess why I watched him. But I used to watch him all the time. And like, I went back and watched some of his old Let's Plays, one that he did of Pokemon Blue specifically, I want to say like a year ago. And like, the amount of like slurs that he drops,
oh.
Like just calling characters gay and shit, and like, you know, suck my cock. It's like, damn.
Oh, I guess I didn't used to watch Game Grumps in like early high school.
I never really watched Game Grumps. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's again, that's one of those things where I could go back and watch and let me be like, wow, this is profoundly unfunny.
I had a lot of friends that watched Game Grumps in like class.
We were at a coffee shop once and overhearing the barista ecstatically remark how like they were excited to see Ninja Sex Party. And this is by the time I was like in college.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, I was doing the fucking Clint Eastwood gif and I was just like, ugh. You know,
in terms of like comedy gaming YouTubers, I watched like Kryken, I guess, back in, I guess I've in the early 2010s,
mm-hmm.
maybe the late 2000s. I don't know. I didn't really watch that kind of content.
Hold on, I think I can actually figure this out. Maybe I switch my account to my old ass YouTube account. Fucking pause this, and then if I look at my subscriptions, it'll tell me. Oh, I'm literally subscribed to fucking no one. Or like, it's all like Tobuscus.
Tobuscus.
The Yogg's cast for some reason, even though I never fucking watched them. So,
what's your favorite Tobuscus song?
None. I don't really remember why I watched Tobuscus, if I'm going to be honest. Maybe it was for like the fucking...
Don't like Nugget and a Biscuit. Didn't he have the same fucking artist for those music videos that wasn't he like on Armor Games? He did like the art for Toss the Turtle. How the fuck am I remembering this shit? Oh my god. I don't remember his name. For some reason I just remember Armor Games and Toss the Turtle. Do you guys remember Flash Games?
I remember Happy Wheels.
What are some Flash games that you played?
I'm looking at my old like my subscriptions from the bottom.
Yeah.
There's JonTron. There's Randy Taylor 69.
Interesting.
There's The Little Fears, a fucking horror channel. There's Red Supre.
I don't even want to ask what that is.
Red Supre? You know, I think we talked about this, haven't we?
I don't... If we have, I don't remember.
They, like... I guess they were, like, older people in the Let's Play community. And they would get annoyed at, like, these people that would post Let's Plays. That's, like, Fraps Capture or something. And you just hear, like, that the clicking. And they're, like, hey, and it's, like, really terrible audio. Like, this is my they made fun of like those kind of Let's Plays.
Oh, you mean making fun of children? Okay.
Yeah. They made fun of children. They would watch Let's Plays like the people did and like commentate over it. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when YouTube just used to be about bullying children? Remember Leafy?
Remember Leafy is here?
Man, 2016, wasn't that so nostalgic? Wasn't that
so nostalgic? Remember Vape Nation? Oh my god, I'm so nostalgic. Man, I wonder what Ethan Klein is up Vaporwave? To now. Oh god. Talk about a generational fall off.
Remember when he had like, didn't he have like a tower of beanies?
Oh yeah, or like he put on a bunch of sweaters. What quality YouTube content was being made in the late 2010s? I'm so nostalgic for it. I miss it so fucking much. I miss it so much, I'm just gonna fucking kill myself.